The U.S. job market is, here's a word, indefatigable. I'm David Brancaccio. There's news this morning that 517,000 more people were on payrolls in January. This report is nearly three times higher than expected. A parallel survey finds the unemployment rate falling to 3.4%, the lowest since 1969, 2 months before humans landed on the moon. January is a month full of statistical adjustments to the payroll figure to compensate for layoffs that follow the holiday hiring. And there is likely some noise here, but not enough to obscure this achievement, even in the face of higher interest rates. On Friday, we consult Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FHN Financial in New York. Hello, Chris.
Good morning, David.
Irrepressible, this job market. It just keeps going.
This is a stunning report. Not only the 500,000 jobs added in January, but it's all the little ancillary details.
I will say that pay didn't jump insanely. I mean, for people worried about inflation, we didn't get giant raises last month.
No, that was the one as expected piece. Average hourly earnings up 0.3. I think that's more a reflection of job mix than anything else, though. You know, we had big job gains in healthcare and leisure and hospitality, which are lower paid jobs. But when you look at how much the workers in those industries are being paid, there is rapid wage growth.
Now, our central bankers at the Fed said they're going to have to keep raising interest rates to knock down inflation. Some people in the, for instance, bond market didn't believe the Fed. Maybe they should believe the Fed.
Powell's message was, look, I'm not going to argue with you. If you're right, you're right. If I'm right, I'm right. Well, after seeing these numbers today, I'd say Powell's credibility has gained considerably since Wednesday.
Christopher Lowe, chief economist, FHN Financial. Thank you so much.
Thank you, David.
Some very big tech companies, including Apple, had some bad news about late last year. Here's Marketplace's Nova Safo.
Yeah, David, turns out big tech isn't bulletproof, which, to be fair, markets have been assuming. Tech stocks got hammered last year. The Nasdaq fell 33%. But as you mentioned, there's been a rally yesterday and since the beginning of the year, really. And it looks like investors maybe got a little bit ahead of reality. Because when you have the world's biggest public company, Apple, saying they're not immune to a downturn brought on by all the economic uncertainty we're facing, well, that does get your attention. Apple yesterday reported its first quarterly revenue decline in almost 4 years. iPhone sales were down. People also bought a lot fewer Macs because the work from home boom is over. And Apple said this quarter, it's likely to see another revenue drop because consumers are just not spending money on stuff as much as they were a year ago.
And all sorts of companies are spending less money as well on digital ads, for instance. How's that playing out in the tech sector here?
Well, it's definitely showing up on bottom lines. The elephant in the digital advertising space is Google, and quarterly profit at its parent Alphabet was down 34%. Ad sales on YouTube down 8%, and video ads are very important for Google. Facebook and Instagram parent Meta, same thing. It reported the third quarter in a row of sales declines. Snapchat's parent company reported dismal results. It's almost completely dependent on ads, and it lost money in the last quarter. Probably the best news investors got this week, David, was from Meta saying it's going to spend less this year. The quote of the week was from Mark Zuckerberg calling this the year of efficiency. Not exactly a cheery outlook.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
HIV prevention advocates are watching Tennessee in January. The governor there, Bill Lee, decided to turn down about $8 million from the Centers for Disease Control to help stop the spread of HIV in that state. That's even though parts of Tennessee are hotspots for HIV. Blake Farmer of Station WPLN in Nashville reports.
CDC money to end the HIV epidemic has been flowing to nonprofits around the country for years. Nashville Cares uses it to offer HIV testing in emergency departments. CEO Amna Osman recalls a 67-year-old grandmother who recently came in with a broken toe and left with a life-saving diagnosis.
She must have been living with HIV for around 17 years, and she was the sole caretaker for her grandchildren. She would have never known her HIV status if it wasn't for us being at the emergency department, and these funds made it possible.
The funding is more focused on hot spots like Memphis, which is among the top 50 communities nationally for HIV transmission rates. State officials claim they will keep spending on prevention, but use state funds that they can direct as they see fit. For instance, they would no longer be under any obligation to send money to Planned Parenthood of Tennessee, which still gets some of this CDC money for condom distribution. It's already stopped performing abortions in the state because of an all-out ban. Tennessee's new health chief, Dr. Ralph Alvarado, has tried to downplay the dire warnings from HIV prevention advocates and the few Democrats in the state legislature.
It's abrupt as far as the decision, but the funding will go through the end of May, and then at that point, kind of a different course.
That different course is to funnel prevention funding toward first responders, mothers and children, and victims of human trafficking. That's according to a statement from the Tennessee governor's office. But data show the most at-risk group in the state is young black men who have sex with men. Dr. Aima Ahankai is an infectious disease specialist at Vanderbilt University Medical Center. She says even those who oppose same-sex relationships should consider how focusing on people at highest risk helps everyone.
If we just take a community perspective, if we don't care for the people in our community, this disease gets further out of control for the whole community. That has an impact on everyone.
Though from her perspective, Ahankai says everyone who needs care deserves care. In Nashville, I'm Blake Farmer for Marketplace.
And you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. Our digital producer is Jarrett Dang. Our engineers are Jessen Dueler and Nick Esposito. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.